Why intersectionality matters in the workplace. Emma de Graffenried, a black woman, sued General Motors in 1976 for discrimination based on race and gender. The court dismissed her case, citing the company's employment of both black workers and women, but overlooked that black men held industrial jobs whilst women, predominantly white, held secretarial roles. De Graffenried's experience highlighted a critical gap in how discrimination was understood, one that Kimberly Crenshaw later defined as intersectionality. Today, intersectionality is central to equity, diversity, and inclusion efforts, and organizations are seeking tools, data, and strategies to identify barriers faced by underrepresented groups and create meaningful change. Intersectionality challenges workplaces to go beyond surface-level inclusion and address overlapping systems of discrimination, starting with an intersectional approach, and the most marginalized is the most effective way to build an inclusive culture. But what does this look like in practice? And how far have workplaces come since de Graffenried's lawsuit in 1976? To answer this, we provide a practical guide to using intersectionality as a framework for tackling inequality within and beyond your workplace. Intersectionality at a glance. Often misunderstood or reduced to a tick box exercise, intersectionality calls for a deeper understanding and application. Coined by Crenshaw in 1989, the concept provides a lens through which you can see where power comes and collides, where it interlocks and intersects. Crenshaw's work builds on a longer history shaped largely by black feminist activists and theorists, who have in different ways demonstrated how overlapping forms of discrimination create distinct challenges. For instance, Audre Lorde, who articulated, "There is no such thing as a single issue struggle because we do not live single issue lives." Crucially, intersectionality rejects simplistic, one-size-fits-all approaches to inclusion. Categories like women and other marginalized genders are not homogeneous. Instead, they are deeply shaped by other aspects of identity, such as race, sexuality, or disability. Therefore, marginalized genders will not only experience gender-related discrimination more harshly, but they are also exposed to additional barriers related to, for example, race, heteronormativity, or ableism. For example, the experiences of a black bisexual woman differ markedly from those of a white heterosexual woman, not just because of their individual identities, but because of how these identities and respective structures of oppression intersect. Failing to account for this nuance risks leaving people behind. The curb cut effect, the idea that accommodations made for one group often benefits a wider range of individuals, illustrates why intersectionality is the most effective path towards inclusivity. Just as smoothing out a curb not only helps someone in a wheelchair, but also a caregiver with a pram or an elderly person, addressing the needs of marginalized groups, such as women of color or LGBTQIA+ individuals, creates positive changes that ripple outwards, benefiting everyone and amplifying equity across multiple identities. Persisting and intersectional barriers. Although significant strides have been made since de Graffenried's lawsuit, women of colour remain underrepresented across industries and organisational levels, facing a range of barriers, including daily microaggressions, harmful stereotypes, biases, onlyness, and the pressure to code switch to fit into workplace cultures. These challenges are further exacerbated by systemic issues like the motherhood penalty and a racialised gender pay gap. For instance, while women in the UK are 7 times more likely than men to leave the labour market due to caring responsibilities, this figure rises to 12 times for black and minority ethnic women. The same is true for LGBTQIA+ individuals who face similar challenges, with homophobia and heteronormativity often shaping workplace cultures and career trajectories. Alarmingly, 75% of LGBTQIA+ employees have hidden their identity at work, and transgender individuals face exclusion from gender identity discussions, contributing to the 48% of trans people in the UK who report experiencing harassment or bullying at work. Older workers too encounter stereotypes that hinder career progression, particularly midlife women who face both ageism and sexism. Read our blog on gendered ageism. Meanwhile, disabled individuals face significant barriers, from physical inaccessibility to a lack of accommodations for neurodivergent experiences. These systemic issues contribute to only 27% of disabled people globally being employed, compared to 56% of non-disabled people, reflecting widespread exclusion from meaningful work opportunities. Our most recent Three Barriers report confirms how marginalised groups experience workplace barriers more harshly, and as the examples above, reaffirms the need for an intersectional approach, moving beyond sequential inclusion and tokenism. Too often, organisations approach inclusion as a sequential checklist: gender this year, race next, then sexual orientation, and maybe someday disability and age. This fragmented approach overlooks how different systems of inequality intersect and amplify one another. As Crenshaw reminds us, you can't change outcomes without changing how they have come about. Intersectionality, therefore, urges organisations to move beyond siloed approaches. It is not about stacking identities like building blocks, but about understanding how these identities uniquely shape lived experiences within systems of oppression. Tokenism often arises from this fragmented mindset and involves placing individuals from marginalised groups into high-profile roles as a performative gesture, creating the illusion of inclusivity without addressing systemic inequities. For example, expecting a single black woman or LGBTQIA+ employee to represent an entire community not only disregards the complexity of intersectional experiences, but also places an undue burden on these employees. This is also linked to onlyness, the isolating experience of being the sole representative of a marginalized group in the workplace. This tokenistic approach undermines the true potential of diversity. Research from Boston Consulting Group and the Technical University of Munich shows that innovation performance improves when there is a meaningful representation, specifically when more than 20% of management positions are held by women. It is not enough to have high numbers. Representation must be substantive and paired with inclusive practices, which can only be achieved through an intersectional approach. Shape Talent's Gender Equity Diagnostic provides the starting place to build this approach, helping organisations move beyond tokenism and sequential inclusion. Adopting an intersectional approach. You can't change outcomes without changing how they came about. Here is how you can start incorporating an intersectional approach in your workplace. Tailor these 4 central recommendations to a specific context and needs of your employees. 1. Adopt an integrated intersectional approach to inclusion. To create truly inclusive environments, organisations must move beyond siloed efforts that treat each dimension of diversity separately. For example, gender this year, race next. Instead, develop policies and strategies that recognise the interconnectedness of various forms of oppression, using intersectional data to inform decisions. By collecting and analysing data that captures the distinct experiences of employees based on the interplay of gender, race, ability, sexual orientation and other factors, organisations can identify and address disparities at every stage of the talent cycle: representation, recruitment, promotion and retention. To enhance this approach, partner with external experts in intersectionality to fill knowledge gaps and strengthen policies, ensuring strategies are holistic and resonate with diverse employee groups. 2. Introduce intersectional impact assessments. Implement intersectional impact assessments to evaluate how decisions and initiatives affect groups with multiple marginalized identities. For example, consider how redundancies, the allocation of training budgets, and employment policies might disproportionately impact employees based on intersecting factors such as race, gender, disability, and sexual orientation. 3. Improve and specify your anti-discrimination measures. Ensure that your anti-discrimination measures are both specific and tailored to address a range of biases, including but not limited to racism, sexism, ableism, and homophobia. These should also account for the compounded impact of intersecting prejudices. However, policies should be co-created with the impact of those they are designed to protect or promote inclusion for, without disproportionality burdening these individuals. Also, ensure that all employees, at all stages, receive education on the importance of these measures and have the tools to actively engage in advocacy for their marginalized colleagues. 4. Do not treat marginalized employees as a homogenous group. Avoid generalizing or homogenizing any group of employees, particularly those from marginalized communities. These groups are diverse, and individuals within them have unique needs and challenges. For example, the LGBTQIA+ community encompasses a wide range of identities, and policies should reflect the specific experiences and barriers faced by different subgroups. For example, LGBTQIA+ women, people of colour, or those with disabilities. Multinational organisations should also consider the cultural, legal, and social context of different regions to ensure policies are relevant and respectful of local norms while maintaining global inclusion standards. By embracing intersectionality, organisations can identify and dismantle systemic barriers, ensuring that all employees, regardless of their background, have the opportunity to thrive. Our upcoming ebook on intersectionality and accelerating gender equity launches in early 2025.